Now, if someone comes up to you and says, you are anointed, how do you feel? Stupid. Stupid. You are anointed. Some people might go, no, I'm not. Some people might go, what does that even mean? Really, all it means is that you're chosen for a purpose. You're anointed. All right. So in the Psalm 23, we're looking at the end of this here in Psalm 23, 5 to 6. Jacob did a great job of reading that for me. Thank you, sir. In Psalm 23, 5 to 6, we're going to pull it up there. It talks about, you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So were sheep in this case, were they anointed? What if you walked up to a sheep and said, you're anointed. You were called for a purpose, and it's going to be good in my belly. Right? I mean, this is a different type of anointing that we're talking about here. This anointing means to smear with oil. To smear with oil. So he anoints my head with oil. And David would have been very familiar with this because he was anointed king. And when they anointed him the king, they didn't just take a little bit of oil and put it on his forehead and you look silly for the rest of your day because you forgot about it because it was Ash Wednesday. Right? I mean, that's a different type of thing. You got the ashes, they put it on your forehead and you forget about it. Or someone comes up with you and they anoint. They did not do that to David. When they anointed David as the king, Samuel took the oil and he poured it all over his head. He smeared it in his head, and for days he would have smelled like this oil. For days he would have smelled like this oil, and so he knows exactly what's going on. And in Psalm 23, it takes us through the full year in the life of a sheep. It takes us through the full year of a life of a sheep. And now it's summertime. You anoint my head with oil. There must be a reason that he's doing that, and here's the reason. It is not gracious at all. It's really nasty. Summer was the time for flies. All right, nasal flies to be specific. And these nasal flies would crawl up in the sheep's nose, burrow into the mucus, and lay their eggs, and it was just nasty, and it would irritate them, and it would cause inflammation, and it could even lead to blindness. So they come in there, and the sheep would come in there, and they would butt their heads against trees. How funny would that be? Watching a tree butt its head against a tree. You think, that's not a very smart sheep. Well, it's because the flies were bothering them so much that they butt their head against a tree, they butt it against the rocks, they're doing whatever, and it leads to, it can just flat out lead to exhaustion and sometimes even death. Because they're just beating the head. Does that not sound familiar? Have you ever had a pest in your life? It might be a person. And you might be beating your head against the wall. I just don't know if I can deal with these people anymore. Right? We might look the very same way in this. And so they're doing this. And what was the remedy? Oil. They would take olive oil and mix it with sulfur and then spices. And they would rub it all over the sheep's head and up in its nose. And it would be like us taking an allergy pill. Have you ever had allergies? I mean, I have had allergies before. I never had allergies really growing up. And then when I got here, for some reason, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I had allergies. I'll never forget. I'm like, I'm dying. Something's going on. Go to the doc. He gives me the cold pack. Doesn't work. And people were telling me, you need to take an allergy pill. And I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. I've never had allergies. And I got finally to the point where I'm hard-headed. I'm beating my head against the wall. I'm like, something's wrong with me. We can't fix it. Someone said, take an allergy pill. Finally, I was so desperate, I was just like, fine, I'll take an allergy pill. I take this allergy pill, and within an hour, I am just up and running. And then when I saw that person, they were like, how did it work? And I was like, I'm still pretty sick. I don't feel so good. Trying to play it off. No, I wasn't sick, and I was fine. And I finally had to tell them, I had allergies. And they were like, that's what I was telling you. And so pouring this oil all over their head would have been like having this allergy pill, and it would have been absolutely wonderful for them, and it would just bless them. And so I'm trying to translate that into what does it mean for us? And my prayer has been, Lord, here's what I want you to do. I'm about to lose it. I'm about to lose it in my life, and please apply the oil of your spirit to my mind. Just let it drench all over me. I need the oil of your spirit applied to my mind. And then I have to believe that he will do it. Then I have to have the faith to believe, okay, I've prayed for it. He's going to do it. And as I was struggling this past week, I was struggling with a person that I frankly just don't like very much. Does that surprise you? Do you all have people in your life that you just don't like very much? Well, I was trying to pray for this person because that's what the Bible says to do. And the Bible can be rude. It tells me to do things I don't want to do. One of them is pray for my enemies. I'm like, what? That's disrespectful, Lord. Why would you want me to do that? So I'm trying to pray for this person that I would consider an enemy. And I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do here. And if you ask him, he probably will show you something, so be careful. Because all of a sudden he shows me Philippians 4:8. And here's what Philippians 4:8 says. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I felt that God was going, I want you to take this person and I want you to apply every one of these things to that person. I was like, ew, I don't know if I could do that. So I sat down and I started trying to do it. I was like, okay, first thing, whatever's true, whatever's good about this person. Nothing. Okay, next, whatever's noble. So I start going on to the next one, noble. Nothing. I got nothing. And so God was just going up, come on, you can do better than this, James. You got to come up with something. So I start coming up with something for each one. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. And as by the time I got to the end, I was exhausted. Too exhausted to hate the person. I mean, too exhausted. And I just started picking out the things. And it helped me greatly. You know what? Maybe all this stuff is fabricated in my mind, a lot of it. Because this person's probably a pretty good person. But they hurt my feelings and I just don't like them. I just don't like them right now. And so I was working on that and God's going, you wanted me to apply the oil to your head and to transform your mind, so there it is. I don't recommend it maybe, but you might want to try it. You might want to try it with one of your enemies or someone that you're struggling with. And it helped me to apply that oil to my mind. And then, once the summer's over, then comes fall, right? The cooler weather. It's funny how we get, you know, we have 193 degrees here, and then we're begging God, please help me. Please help us, God. We need some rain. We need some cooler weather. And then we get the cooler weather, and immediately people are going, oh, I want the sun. It's like you forgot that we almost died. We almost died. And you got people like Jordan is like, I don't die because I go back up to Idaho. He goes up because he cheats, right? Now, these winter Texans, they cheat on us, but that's all right. We still love them. And so then the winter comes, and it kills off the pests, and it kills off the heat, and we love it. And this is a period where the sheep really need to be healthy, very, very healthy. Can you even figure out why they need to be really healthy right now? Because they go into this season that is very dangerous for them, and it's called the rut or mating season. The rut or the mating season, I don't know about sheep so much as I do about deer, but I know that deer can lose, the bucks can lose up to 20% of their weight, and they can kill each other when fighting for the women. It's funny, because they run in bachelor groups all year. And all of a sudden, they just change. And that this is my best friend, and all of a sudden, he's like, see the way you're looking at Nancy? I love her! You better stop looking at her that way. We're going to have to throw down horns, right? All of a sudden, they just start getting mad at each other, and they have to separate because they start getting in competition for these ewes, and so they're just absolutely get crazy. And I mean, they lose all sense of. That's when you can get the big bucks because they have no brain left. And women, don't think you're exempt, because I have seen the lady deer with the most ugly horned deer you've ever seen. I mean, they're just like, I guess I'll have to take that. And you're like, you try to shoot that deer before he breeds because you don't want to hit that wonky horn looking thing, you know, just ruining your whole herd. And so they have this stuff that's going on and they are just absolutely crazy. And they're just trying to, you know, they're crashing horns. You can hear it. And I don't know if you've ever seen deer fight like that. It's pretty amazing. And then sheep will rear back. And I mean, they will just crack and you can hear it for a long way, and you hear all during the day, all during the night, they just don't stop. The only thing they can think about is breeding. Does this catch the shepherd by surprise? No. He knows that this is about to happen. He knows that this is about to happen, and what is his remedy? Oil. It's oil, except this is more like a greasy oil, And what he does is he takes those rams and he'll take them and he'll smear oil all over their head. And I watched a video on it. It's hilarious. Puts the oil on their head. They look at each other like they do. And all of a sudden they, boom, and it just glances off each other. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was expecting something. They're bewildered. They're just like, what just happened? This was supposed to be like a collision. I was going to kill him. And then they rear back again. After about the second or third time, they're just bewildered. And they just go, whoa, 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 this something's wrong. And they just stop. They're like, well, that wasn't as fun as I thought. That wasn't as fun as I thought. And so they take this oil and they have this tension and all this things that they were feeling all of a sudden dissipates and they get out of there. Once again, it's really up to the shepherd to do all this work to put this stuff on them. The shepherd does a lot of work in preparing for us, and he goes ahead and he's fixing all of this stuff up for us, and it happens. They have to do it as often as they need to. They do it, whether it's for the fall or whether it's for the summer. They apply as necessary. They apply as necessary during that. And I loved how Daniel shared with us last week about his testimony. It was just so brave of him to do that. And I remember Daniel sharing. He said, I didn't care who I had to walk over or step on or what I had to do to somebody to get up above them. And then something happened. And I think God anointed him with oil and put this oil over his mind. And now his mind has completely changed where he'll do anything for anybody. How does that happen? It is a supernatural response. It really is a supernatural response that happens there. And so then David says this funny thing. He says, my cup runs over or it overflows. I remember Lonnie going through the cancer stuff that he was going through. He lost his wife to cancer, his first wife to cancer. And then he had gotten cancer. And then he beat it. God healed him of it. He has shared that testimony with us before. But then every time I would see him, and it didn't matter if he was going through a hard time or he was having a good time, I'd say, Lonnie, how are you doing? I'm drinking from the saucer. I was like, what? What does that even mean, you're drinking from the saucer? And there's a teacup that has a saucer, and he was saying that his cup overflows, and he's just drinking from the saucer. He doesn't even have to drink from the cup. He just drinks from the saucer. I have never forgotten that. Lonnie, I will never forget that, sir. Every time I'm going through some difficult times, sometimes I don't even want to hear Lonnie saying it to me, but I can hear him saying it. And no matter how hard of a day he's having, just maybe just barely getting in the door, Lonnie, how you doing? Drinking from the saucer. I'm like, wow, I want to be like Lonnie. I want to be like Lonnie with that. And so here it comes down to that. I mean, he's drinking from the saucer. And David's going, my cup overflows. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this, 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know what God's will for you is? Well, there it is. It's terrible. No, I'm kidding. It's hard, though. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Whew. Well, when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, that's not easy. That is not easy. He wants us to do it. He wants us to do it, but it's not easy at all. In all circumstances, every season, even in the valleys, I think when you give thanks and rejoice, I think you're doing His will, what His will for you. But it's a supernatural response again. It really takes the Holy Spirit to help you. I'm going to give thanks to God in all my circumstances. I'm going to continue to drink from the saucer because my cup overflows. I know that David's cup was overflowing, and sometimes there's a bitter cup. Sometimes we're asked to drink of a bitter cup. And if you remember Jesus, when he was at Gethsemane, he was praying. He said, God, take this cup from me. It's more than I can take. Take this cup from me. Please take it from me. He said, but not my will, your will. And so even in the bitter cup, even, you know, we had a dear friend yesterday lose their son. The Hawthorns lost their son yesterday, DJ. And it's been hard to understand. They're already going through a hard time as it is. And there's just no words. And they're drinking from this bitter cup right now. And it's difficult. And so please remember that family when you're praying. And just, I didn't have the words yesterday. And there were no words. There are no words for me to tell them. Other than just, we love you, and I don't know what to say. I'm so sorry. And all they could say is, my heart's torn in two, and I feel numb. I don't know what to feel. Some of you know what that's like. Some of you could be of better service than I could ever be right now for that family. Because you understand, there's just no words that you can say. And even after that, he comes in and he finishes it up with, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I'm going to quote something from Philip Keller. It says, is this sheer humbug or maddening mockery? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Is this sheer humbug or maddening mockery? He says that sheep can devastate land, but they can also be most beneficial to the land when they are properly managed. Even their manure. That's what he says. Even their manure. It's the most beneficial of all livestock, and it can be a great benefit to the soil. And I kept thinking, even when I make a stink of life, God can use it. He just does. I know, James, you're so immature. I can't believe it. It's just hilarious to me. He takes the manure. He takes our junk. And even when we make a stink out of life, he goes, listen, I can take that around, and I'm going to turn it around for your good. I can make something beautiful out of this. Despite my doubts, my anger, my rebellion, my failures, my fears, he comes in and he goes, I'm going to make something beautiful out of this if you'll trust me. Because my goodness and my mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's another version that says, I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. I'm going to bring the band up as we close it out. Now, this house that they're talking about is not a synagogue or a church. This house is more like the house in John 14. We talked about it last week. Jesus goes, he said, listen, I'm going away, but in my Father's house, there's many rooms. And I'm going to prepare one for you. I'm going to prepare one for you. So this is the kind of house that he's talking about here. He says, I'm going to go prepare something for you. And this Psalms opens up, 23 opens up with a proclamation that the Lord, he is my shepherd. And then it ends with equal affirmation of, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, isn't that being truly content? He starts with this proclamation. He ends with the proclamation. And in between is all the seasons of life and everything that can happen to a person throughout their lives and the sheep. But he always ends with affirmation, and he always starts with affirmation. The Lord, he is my shepherd. And he says that there's only one way that you can get in to the Lord, and there's only one gate, and that's through Jesus. It really doesn't matter what anybody else is saying out there beyond Christianity, because people are out there saying there's many, many, many ways to get to God. But that's not what our Bible teaches us. Our Bible teaches us that there's only one way to get to God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then even according to Psalm 23 here, John 10:9 says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Even in the hard times, it's still surreal to me that this season for me is almost over. I can't make sense of it all. But I've had so much encouragement, so much love from the people here. I know it's going to help me into my next season. And it's just hard. It's just hard because we have a deep love for one another. We just have a very deep love for one another. And I just appreciate everything that you all have done for me in helping me to get to this point and continuing to love beyond this. I know it'll be different. But you guys have helped me through the valley of the shadow of death and helped me keep walking and getting to the next step and the next step. Most important thing is people need to know Jesus. He's the only thing that matters. Because without him, we got nothing. We have nothing. And Romans 10:9 and finishing says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You cannot adequately say the Lord is my shepherd if you haven't done that. You can't say that he's my shepherd if you haven't made him your Lord and Savior first. He's not your shepherd. Start there. And then you too can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't have a need of anything. And it is a walk. It's a walk of life. And it can be hard sometimes, but life, period, can be hard. So in closing, I just want to go through the Psalm 23 in a little bit different version. My version of the way that we have walked through it together over these past couple months. Psalm 23 says, the Lord, He is my shepherd. I have need of nothing. He creates a safe place for me to rest. He leads me to places that are quiet and peaceful. He brings my soul back to life. And as I go through valleys, I am not afraid because He is with me, protecting me with His rod and staff. He always goes ahead of me in preparation. He has anointed me, and my cup overflows with His goodness and His mercy. And I get to be in His presence forever. We have people that are willing to pray with you. That'll be up here in our last song. So if you need prayer, they'll be here, maybe even after the service as we leave. They'll be here for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for being a good shepherd, even when we don't feel like it, even when our world's turned upside down. Thank you that they are just seasons. But you're always there going ahead of us, preparing for us for the next season. Even if we've made a terrible mess of our lives, you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. We are so grateful for that, Lord. Sometimes the only words that we can say in thanksgiving is hallelujah. Just hallelujah, hallelujah. So Lord, may we find ourselves deep in your presence, drinking from the saucer. We say right now that we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand for our last song?